What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece, right here on 105.3 The Fan. My answer to Corey on air, the one that's right above NFL playoff bracket.
Gotcha.
Go check that out. All right. We're going to go through some of the biggest and maybe still ongoing questions for all of the playoff teams, even the ones that were just eliminated. But before we get to that, Cowboys defensive coordinator candidates. So far, there are six that are lined up or have completed interviews. You've got Zach Orr, the defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens. And just remember, their defense was horrible last year. You have
mostly in the passing area, Kevin.
True.
Their run defense was all right.
Well,
their pass defense was miserable. But they were 31st in getting to the quarterback. So when it comes to pressure,
but that's not a problem for the Cowboys, right? Either pressure or this secondary, right?
Well,
Kevin, I mean, you have Osa and Kenny Clark and Q and Ezeraku. Right now, you don't have a right defensive end, really.
Oh,
so yeah, I think we got a few problems there.
Okay,
we're waiting.
All right. Well,
you know what though? I feel like this right now, and I'm not saying this because of Jerry or Steven, I feel like Schottenheimer has a more alert process on what he wants to get done and in a timely fashion.
Okay.
And I think that they will be at the front of the line on a lot of things. I'm hoping that Schottenheimer's in their ear going, this is how it needs to be done. I felt like Mike McCarthy was just like, it's your team, run it however you want, I'll coach them. And I think Schottenheimer's like, I know what I need, and I know if I wait around for you guys, you'll take forever. So let's get it done now.
Okay. All right. Now I get what you're saying. All right. Next on the list, Aaron Whitecotton. We've known about that. Defensive line coach for the Cowboys. Internal interview. Jonathan Gannon, who was fired from his last job, and it feels like that is the candidate that our very own Mickey Spagnuolo might want the least. Jim Leonard, the Broncos defensive pass game coordinator. I know that is a fan favorite.
Jim Leonard.
Yes, him, Leonard. Durante Jones, the Vikings defensive pass game coordinator, also set up for an interview. And then the Browns safety coach, Ephraim Banda, is also set up for an interview. So you've got six interviews already lined up and or completed. Just in case anybody had missed it, wanted to run through, those are the ones that are currently in place or have already been completed.
All right. I like a couple of them.
Besides, I know Leonard. I get Leonard is high up on the list. Is there anybody else? Does Whitecotton do anything for you?
Listen, Whitecotton would be the most Cowboys approach. The guys on his defensive line like him, though. And so if he has answers to the questions, then he does. But if he doesn't have like real answers to fixing the defense, I don't want a guy that I'm just like, hey, do you want the job? And he's like, yes. And you're like, great. What do you think about this? He's like, seems like it's really good. I want a guy to walk in and be like, dude, I need this, 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 and this. Have a plan of action.
Right.
And this, guys, y'all didn't see how bad this was last year when this was going on. I can fix this. So if that's the case, then let's roll with Whitecotton if he has some good ideas there. But there's still some other names out there that I'm kind of keeping an eye on because I did see the Commanders look like they're talking to Brian Flores as well. I know he has head coaching opportunities, but Kevin, if he went there, I would be like, why? We got to pick up the phone again.
And how?
And just overpay.
And you said again is because it feels like we
times
went through this
haven't.
With Ben
yeah.
Johnson last year on the head coaching front. How infuriating would it be if Brian Flores took a job elsewhere as a DC? Like I get,
it would be infuriating.
Okay, because I get
absolutely.
That Washington would be really bad because it's a rival. But if he went anywhere and you didn't even ask
yeah.
because we just assumed.
Right. Yeah,
that
no, absolutely.
Feels pretty disastrous.
From the 469 coming from a Ravens fan, Anatolo. Zach Orr is the worst defensive coordinator in the league. He is local, so That's helpful.
Look, I am also not a fan of picking up somebody who are like, hey, your defense wasn't good last year. Would you like to come run our defense that was also not good last year? That would be weird. All right. Would you guys like to start with the AFC or NFC playoff teams? And we can stop down on any of these that you like.
Let's start with the AFC playoff teams, Kevin.
All right. We will go from seeds 1 to 7, even though some of these teams have obviously been eliminated. For the Denver Broncos, are the Denver Broncos and is their offense ready to do their part?
In game one against the Bills, because this is game one for them, I would anticipate hoping to see something like you saw last night. So, no. Now, that being said, I don't know that Bo Nix has been that sloppy. It's just some of the throws you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Not to say he can't make great throws, but he has an unreasonably large amount of throws that you're like, the hell was that?
Yeah, yeah. He's not quite Drew Brees yet.
sure, that's fair.
But I would expect that Sean Payton wants a heavy dose of his run game. Like, that's a reality. Sean Payton loves it. Remember Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara? That was a significant piece of what they did. He wants some of that. I would expect them to utilize a lot of that. Even though because I didn't feel like the Jaguars ran the ball well enough. Maybe it's just like you're just a tough team to run against. I don't think so. But hey, I go after it. I also think their defense is just so good that it becomes easy to kind of lay back and rely on them so much. So I don't, but it'll be just enough to get a win.
I'm going to skip around a little bit here for the Houston Texans. How much offense do they need to win the championship? Because all these teams now, they're 3 wins away.
Yeah.
But you got almost as many points from your defense as you did your offense.
Yeah, it was, and Kevin, last night was too close to call to for comfort the whole game until they finally just popped it. Like, but right. it was 7-6 is
going
not
into
a,
the fourth
is not a comfortable feeling at all, because a field goal changes this, and you know, now you're like, I haven't been able to score all night. How are we ever going to overcome this? I think they're going to need more than they got last night for sure. And that's going to be they're going to have to find a way to protect Stroud a little bit better so that he doesn't look so panicked, or get him in a place. Because Kevin, you and I listened this morning to D'Amico Ryans explain how he wants a linebacker to think. And he went through, I want him to read key, I want him to diagnose things before, and then go get ball. I felt like last night, you just needed to tell Stroud, hey, say hut, once you get the ball, now, you know, like go through the steps so that he, and I know there was some problems between him and his center last night too. They had a couple of real weird situations. Also, is Nico Collins going to be available now that he's got the concussion? I'm curious about that. But they're definitely going to need more than what they got last night.
Can the Buffalo Bills reach the AFC Championship game without more production from James Cook?
I don't know how you can put it all on Josh Allen.
Which, man, they've gotten pretty far with just that strategy. But I wonder if this is...
Yeah.
The end of the line.
No, he has to run the football. And Kevin, Jerry's right when he says once you get to the playoffs, you have to be able to stop it and you have to be able to run it. Those are real things. You can't be a one-dimensional team. I don't think you can be a one-dimensional team in the playoffs. But Josh Allen, physically, the toll will be too much on him if James Cook can't produce more.
Now, let's move over to the NFC. I don't even know why I'm bothering asking you guys this question, but I'm going to give it a shot. Is Sam Darnold ready to slay another demon? So after having back-to-back 14-plus win seasons, only him and Tom Brady have done that. Obviously, it didn't go super well for the Vikings in the playoffs last year. Are you prepared for touchdown favorite Sam Darnold and the Seahawks to slay a playoff demon?
You know what, dude?
Oh, it's happening.
I don't think so.
Damn it.
It's just maybe so. Maybe so. Getting to the playoff, like getting to the next round would be really cool. Maybe he can do that. If you're asking me, can he win this playoff game? I think him and Seattle can do that.
Okay.
Going any further than that, I have big question marks. So, no, I don't think so.
All right. I'm going to move to the Bears. Can the Chicago Bears continue to win in such dramatic fashion? Look, it would be great if we could win all of our games 50-0. Do you believe that the Cardiac Bears can keep pulling this win out of their hat and continue to advance in dramatic fashion?
I think so.
Ooh.
I think they believe they can. You know, like, that's the thing that, you know, Ben Johnson kept telling people, if y'all don't believe now, just wait. And his team just keeps kind of waiting around until the very end. And it seems like Ben Johnson's like, I still got plays late in the game. I still got plays that I can call. Or I've been setting up plays all game long. Like this little bubble screen I got with the trips package over here. And then all of a sudden DJ Moore goes deep and y'all didn't expect that to happen because you were expecting the Luther Burden screen. Those things right there are the ways that he sets you up throughout a game. So, Kevin, I don't think that he's like, I'm going to go out there and try and score everything early. I think he's like, I'm playing a long game with you in this game, and I think the fourth quarter is where he wants his team to thrive.
Yeah, I'm going to build up to this one, and I'm willing to bet you'll eventually understand what the question's going to be. I take you back to week three, where the Rams had what would have been a game-winning field goal blocked and returned for a touchdown by Philadelphia. Then, in week 16, they lost to Seattle, and Seattle's comeback started when they returned a punt for a touchdown. So the Rams fired their special teams coach, but then, in this game against Carolina, they gave up a blocked punt as well. Are special teams going to be the Rams' undoing in this playoffs?
No, I think injuries are.
I think
they already have a thin secondary right now, and they're taking another hit. I think injuries are going to be a bigger problem for them than now. Special teams might have a play that you can cover up a little bit, but you know what, Kevin? If you just score on every possession, you don't have to worry about punting. I think there's going to be who does that, by the way, fires their special teams coordinator that late in the season. They're just like, screw it, I'm done with this.
Do you think he was kind of sort of just a little pumped, not only that they won, but then they got a blocked punt and he was like, yeah, it wasn't my fault, you D's.
Probably so.
All right.
I know that Stafford's going to play with the, you know, sprained finger.
Yeah.
But man, like, that dude right there, he's going to play through anything. You've seen him go throw a touchdown with a separated shoulder or a broken clavicle or whatever. We've seen that before. How tough can he be at this point right now?
From the 214, this is a good question. How do I cope when my team put up 3 whole points in their game on Sunday? From a Charger bro.
Oh.
The question was going to be how to make the playoffs more enjoyable for Justin Herbert, but that is a fair question. How do you cope when your team scores all of 3 points in the playoff? Well, as somebody who has experience in this realm, as my college team only scored 3 points in the playoffs.
Well, that was because of wind.
Never mind. Is you hope that the team you lost to goes and wins it all, and then you can explain it all away in your mind. Other than that, there is no hope. Your offense didn't show up, and neither did mine.
Here's how you can cope. At least you made the playoffs.
It's a good point.
Teams out there didn't.
Like the Cowboys. For the Eagles, how do you fix that offense?
Get a new offensive coordinator. Bring back Kellen Moore, maybe.
Why would he leave?
Because you offer him more money.
Okay.
You're like, hey, dude, here's more money.
Okay, hold on. Alec, philosophical question. You're getting paid $6 million to be the head coach of the New Orleans Saints. The Philadelphia Eagles said they will give you $10 million to be their offensive coordinator. Do you take that job?
Oh, that's tough. That's really tough.
It's a lot more money. You know what? Let's make it 12. I'm going to pay you twice as much.
I'm in.
You have a deal.
Wow.
I'm in. You sold me.
I don't have to do press conferences.
You have to do a couple, but not
it's like every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Something, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? I really want to know our listeners, Twitch, YouTube, Frankel and Frankel, injury attorney, text line 877-881-1053. Yeah, well, not that, because everybody does that. Would you take the OC job and leave your standing head coaching job if you got offered twice the salary? Because, man, what a wild world that would be if Brian Flores is like, hey, the Giants offered him the job, and the Cowboys are like, no, no. I will pay you twice as much to come be our defensive coordinator. Why the hell not? There's no salary cap when it comes to coordinators. You could build the most badass coaching staff of all time by being like, yeah, Brian Flores, I'm going to give you $12 million. Jim Leonard, I'm going to give you also $12 million to be the defensive line coach or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. Check I'd write.
Hey, let's put it to the test. I want the Cowboys to spend $100 million on coaches.
Go ahead and put that on a video.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus the cheapest ticket to park at the college football championship.
Oh.
This is ridiculous. Next on The Fan.
What does this button do?
Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call...
Yeah!
...the Pride of Mansfield, Texas. This is true. 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer today's question of the day. Plus, I've got two stories to share. The ridiculous get-in price for the college football championship game to park. Not even to get into the game. To park. And then, Scooter Braun, I can't feel bad for you on this one. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. I don't know why. This story makes me unreasonably angry, but we're going to get to it.
Okay. Is Scooter Braun, by the way, is that the guy who had like the Taylor Swift recordings? And
yeah.
She's like, I'll record all new ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now he's dating Sydney Sweeney.
Oh.
There's a reason I'm going to go on a rant. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But go to the National Day Calendar, gentlemen. As we always do, you know, that 5 o'clock alarm hits in the morning. First thing I do, I look at the calendar. I see what days are going on. Today is National Catherine Day. So if you know a Catherine, say what's up.
Okay.
It's National Kathleen Day as well.
No, that's confusing.
Which one do you like better?
My mom's friend Kathleen's really cool.
That's nice.
But Catherine Zeta-Jones exists.
Mm.
In Entrapment.
Yeah, but you have to be careful.
Why?
If you hook up with her.
She entraps you?
No, because remember what Michael Douglas said about how he got throat cancer.
Alec, do you know the...
Look it up!
On the company computer. Got it.
Just log it as Peyton.
Yeah, that's right. It is also National Rubber Ducky Day.
Oh.
So all the Jeep drivers out there that have the rubber ducks lined up across their dash and everything, big day for you.
I hope y'all are happy. None of the kids can have rubber ducks because of y'all.
Does that mean something? Is that just like I'm part of the Jeep
culture? I think it started as a sorority thing.
Oh,
and then
gosh.
It kind of turned into just a Jeep in general thing where they leave them on your door knob, car door knob.
Yeah.
And it's not
like the upside down pineapple or Jeeps. Oh, or for no.
What's that?
Anything.
What's that upside down pineapple?
If you're a swinger.
What does that mean?
If you like to swap out your wife's and husbands and partners and
what?
Stuff.
How do you know this?
Mike told me.
Oh.
How does Mike know that?
I don't know, actually. That's a good question.
Wasn't there a show after that called like Wife Swap or something back in the day? Remember that?
Was that about people swapping
for sex.
Oh.
For the purposes, maybe there were some instances where they were like, dude, I won the lottery here. But in most instances, it was like, I don't know how to parent these kids. We're swapping and we're going to see if our parenting styles, if we need some new things.
I gotcha.
And usually the woman would come in with a lot of other like, hey, maybe you should try this.
Okay.
And the dad was like, man, whatever.
That's a pretty accurate description.
Get my steak right.
And then it's not a national holiday, but I do have to shout out. It is Lori Harvey's birthday, the daughter of Steve Harvey. What's up, Lori?
Oh, Okay.
How are you doing?
Does she do anything?
Models, primarily.
Neat.
Yeah, and very good at doing that. Yeah, go to the Instagram page. You won't be mad. It's poetry break day and then poetry at work day also.
Have you ever written a poem for a gal, Alec?
Yeah.
How did it go over?
I'm single.
Aww. Have you ever read at a poetry event or poetry slam? I don't know if that's still a thing.
Not like as an adult, like when I was forced to in school.
Okay.
Like we definitely had those events, and there was a long period of time where I thought I was going to be a writer of some sort, creative writing and stuff. So I did a lot of...
people snapped for you?
Oh, yeah. And it was weird. I hated every second of it.
Okay.
And that's when I decided, hey, I should talk instead of write.
Okay.
So that's why I'm here, guys. Because poetry's weird.
817, so Rugnet Odor needed an upside-down pineapple in his locker because he was a free swinger.
That's right. I like that.
Poetry, I've written poems. I've been published.
Oh, where were you published?
Poetry.com.
Does that still exist?
I don't know.
Hey, I was published at one point, too. USA Today, Cowboys Wire. Shout out KD Drummond. Yeah, covered professionally for one season, and then I remembered I like talking more than writing. So that's why I'm here with you guys 10 to 2, Monday through Friday. But we're going to focus in.
I couldn't find Corey's poem.
It went in a book.
Ooh, good for you.
They took all the poems from the website and threw it in a book and were like, hey, if you want your poetry book, you can pay us $40. And I was like, stupid. Nobody's going to ever see that. I got the poem still, though, somewhere.
Oh.
That's not
in a poetry book.
Not as wholesome as I expected. But it is Make Your Dream Come True Day. Make Your Dream Come True Day. So,
I already did it.
What is a dream thing that you've had on your bucket list forever that it might not be in the realm of possibility, but you want to make it happen one day? 877-881-1053.
I want to sit front row for the Royal Rumble or WrestleMania.
I like it.
That would be... that would be more.
I got close.
Where are the tickets? This is Make Your Dream Come True Day, Kevin.
They're so expensive.
Yeah. And they keep going up in price every single year.
Well,
yeah.
It's bad. How about it's Make Your Dream Come True Day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you dream that the tickets are cheaper?
Okay.
And then make that come true.
Okay.
Instead of just getting handed them?
Maybe you can go to the ticket office. And
you still have the ticket.
I don't know.
Office.
You go and you knock on the window.
There you go.
And you say, look, I'm a little short on the money. But would you accept other forms of payment and see what they're willing to negotiate with you?
Oh, man.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Whatever Kevin's willing to negotiate with them.
Oh, interesting.
That's a good question.
Speaking of wrestling, I'm going to pivot away from that before it gets weirder. If you did win the tickets on the show last week to TNA Impact Thursday, I will be there.
Oh,
so try to track me down.
Man, I've been thinking about going there, too.
You should.
Oh, that person actually, I think, tweeted us and was like, hey, I won the tickets. How do I get them? So,
Well, keep checking your email. Okay. That's all I can say.
It's a loaded show, and we might know something.
Yeah, we might know some things. And then Saturday, TNA Genesis. I will be there as well.
Oh.
So if you're going to be at that show, come find me. Come say hi. Let's have a beer together. Fellowship.
Are you going to tell people when you get there where you're at, or do you want them to just search the building for you?
You know what? I should dress up like Waldo. Do Where's Medford? But I'm wearing white and red stripes. And a hat.
I think that is a great idea.
You know what? Yeah, we should do that. And I'd take some like Tolo stickers with me or something.
You should do that.
Yeah,
I'm not going to do that.
Keep them in the pocket and then say, hey, if you find me, you get a Tolo sticker. There you go.
Okay.
That would be cool. Yeah, see if security questions me while I'm dressed up like a childhood cartoon character.
What about Tolo Go stuff?
I don't really know about that.
Right.
I can't really guarantee anything in that realm. Depends how many beers you buy me.
You have a Tolo sticker. You can just write go on it in a Sharpie.
See, that's right.
But you just hit on something that I think is really important.
We need more of that stuff.
If you ever used to watch like Catfish or any of those shows where people don't really look like what they said they do, and they're like, but everything else is me. I'm still the person you connected with.
Oh.
Get serious, man. You heard what Alex said. He doesn't want to commit to that because he doesn't know what you look like, all right? So whenever people are like, I'm still the same person, dude, they clicked on your photo or swiped or whatever because they thought you were hot, not because they thought you were a deep person.
He's not wrong.
Is that how your Bumble situation went?
Exactly.
She was like, "Ooh, he's hot."
I thought Jess was attractive.
Oh,
do you believe in love at first sight?
I don't know how Bumble works.
Do you?
When I saw Adrian,
exactly.
I knew exactly.
When you saw Adrian, you didn't go, "She looks like she has high-minded principles."
Mm-mm.
You were like, "She is very pretty."
Mm-hmm.
I've got a great story for y'all.
That's actually not what I said, but I can't say what I thought.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, I don't think I need to hear that either.
After we go
I'll
to break, I got, a,
no,
great,
please
I got a great story, too, that I can't share on the air that you guys are going to love.
Long-standing thing, and Corey knows this. If it's about somebody I know, don't want to hear it. If it's Alex going to tell me a story, it's a good chance somebody I don't know, and that's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Let's hear it.
Because I don't even know the person, so that
makes
it even
definitely.
Better.
This is a different version of Adrian, though.
No. She is still the same person I know. I don't want to hear ever.
Anywho, Majors.
What?
What is the one dream that you want to come true for yourself?
Actor.
No. Mm. Yeah. I would like to publish the book. I would like to get it published at some point. It's done.
Oh.
It's done.
It feels like we can.
It's one of those where I'm like, the only person I trust to read it is Kevin, but he doesn't like to read books, so I won't give it to him because I know he'll be just like, I'm not reading this crap.
I might have changed my opinion on that because the reason why I didn't like to read books is because all I did at the newspaper all freaking day was just read article after article after article. And so when people are like, I've got this book you should read, I was like, no thanks. That's what I do at work all day long.
From the 469, Kevin's juice box might explode if those front row tickets end up in his mailbox.
That was such a sad moment for me.
Oh, man. For me? I've talked about this before, and I still have an unreasonable amount of confidence that this can happen at some point. I want to voice a character in a Pixar movie.
Ooh, which character?
Like, well, I mean, any original character.
Like a Disney princess?
I mean, I get it. I got range.
You're going to get canceled so fast
what
if
do
you
mean?
Try that. Are you kidding me?
Hey, Disney money's good money, though.
What do you mean? Everybody should be able to.
Well, then
acting.
Look, I'm with you, but that does not seem to be the way that the loudest people accept things. I think it's weird when they're like, you can't have a not gay person play a gay person. And I'm like, well, Rambo wasn't really a commando, all right? He was an actor. That's the point.
I will say I do appreciate, and this is like a, was it Breaking Bad was one of the, when they have somebody with a disability playing somebody with a disability.
Sure.
I do appreciate opening the door for people that have disabilities to be able to play roles, whether it is, hey, I have them playing a role with a disability, or I have a disability, but I can still act.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that's an interesting thing to see, because doesn't it feel like Hollywood has always been like, all right, you have the beautiful actors, and then you have everybody else.
Right.
And that's pretty much how it's going to be, is we have the George Clooney's and Brad Pitt's and Angelina Jolie's, and then everybody else is in the background.
Yeah.
Well, we will pivot for a second because we have a breaking baseball nugget.
Oh, did they make a trade?
The Arizona Diamondbacks are acquiring 8-time All-Star third baseman Nolan Arenado in a trade with the St. Louis Cardinals. Sources tell ESPN he has agreed to waive his no-trade clause, and the deal is officially done. Awaiting details on the return there, but the Diamondbacks loading up with Nolan Arenado.
Did you say Cardinals are eating a significant portion of that contract, according to Bob Nightingale?
Really? Ooh. Man, it's nice to see when you have a team that needs a boost that you're willing to do something about it.
Oh, well, look at that. And then speaking of something that's not going to boost your
not
wallet.
Not our team. We don't do that.
But what do you think the cheapest parking spot for...
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
The national championship game in Miami is...
$75.
How far?
No, I think, don't you
just
mean
like
official,
the,
not Bob
yeah,
lives
like,
here?
Like in an
park
official parking spot at the stadium.
Pull up in my yard and it's fine, guys.
I don't know if we have, if 75? We're able to track all of that. 75.
181.
For parking?
According to TickPick, the cheapest parking pass at the stadium for the national championship game costs $747. So if you want to park at the stadium, You need close to $800 after fees and tax and all that.
$700?
Just pull up in my boat.
$47?
If I had a boat, I'd probably be like, that $700 is fine, whatever.
Yeah. So, and let alone, if you look at the prices to get in the building, the cheapest tickets are north of $3,000 to get into the building.
See, and that's the issue. Because, like, $747 from a WrestleMania ticket is where I was like, yeah, no, I would do that. But that's why I can't sit in the front row, because that's nowhere even close. I can't even fathom paying that for parking. Man, the Uber and Lyft people, I hope, are crushing it at this thing.
They will. They will. Everybody needs to descend on there for that. By the way, somebody texted in and said, y'all need to watch Peanut Butter Falcon if y'all want an amazing
movie.
That
movie is awesome.
It was fantastic. I've seen it multiple times. It's really good.
Yeah.
And then we will save the Scooter Braun story for tomorrow, because I think it's a longer conversation, Corey, that I feel like you specifically are going to
appreciate. Question of the day tomorrow, all right?
Or would you be willing to cede some C-block time?
You want to do it today?
We can do it today.
Or tomorrow. I don't know how this works.
I just literally laid out the scenario for you.
Listen and find out.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Don't interrupt my tease. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, the top rookies of the season. Where does Tyler Booker go next on The Fan? KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Powered by Men's Tea Clinic. It's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip!
Dip it and sip it.
And we start with the best of the best rookies in the NFL. Then we'll get back around to some more playoff stuff. Who do you think was the best rookie in all of football, and where would you put Tyler Booker?
Man, that's interesting, because
he is not a rookie.
Because Tyler Booker was that good, and you expected Jenty to be at the top of that list, but
by the way,
you destroyed him.
Just to give you an example, Jenty, 24
okay
on this list.
I think Tet McMillan needs to be in the conversation.
Okay. Who else would be in that conversation?
Colston Loveland needs to be in the conversation. Jackson Dart needs to be in that conversation as well.
Kyle Yeomans.
And Kyle Yeomans for sure, yeah.
All right. Colston Loveland was number 8.
Okay.
On this list. Jackson Dart.
You know what's interesting, too, is did I just name all offensive players?
You did.
Yeah, because
Jackson Dart's 19.
Okay. We don't think enough about some of the defensive players and offensive linemen and stuff like that, too. So.
See, and that's why I thought it would be tricky with Booker. But Carson Schwechinger, I always have trouble with that. He is the presumptive defensive rookie of the year. He is number 2. On that list.
Okay.
So, defensive player.
Dude, what a defense that the Browns were this year.
Yes. I'm sure they feel like their offense wasted it. Can you imagine if it was the Browns defense and the Cowboys offense?
Cowboys defense overall ranked 31st.
Yikes.
Cowboys offensive line ranked 21st.
Ooh. That's okay.
Dak ranked 4th.
Okay.
According to some StatMuse or whatever.
Okay.
So, yeah, I would have loved to have seen that.
We'd still be playing right now and probably a favorite this weekend. So he's 2nd. Kelvin Banks Jr., an offensive lineman, left tackle, is 3rd. But the presumptive offensive rookie of the year, Tet McMillan, is number 1 on the list. So those are your top 3. And then this one I really disagree with. Abdul Carter is number 6. And even in the blurb, it says some folks undoubtedly feel this ranking is too high. And they say it's too low given Carter's overwhelming talent. Well, I don't think that's reflective of how he actually performed. There's no doubt that Abdul Carter started to do significantly better as the season went along. But there's way too much dead space in the first, what, 2/3 of the season? I think that that one is absurd. But we get to number 10, Tyler Booker.
Oh, I like that. Do you feel that Tyler Booker was more mature than his age this year?
In the second half of the season, for sure.
Because that would be something that I would say would nail Abdul Carter for me. He had those moments this year. You were like, dude, what were you doing?
Yeah.
And maturity at this level, like, and you said second half for sure.
Yes. Well, because he got hurt.
And it takes time. Dude, it does take time to mature into something in this league. I think he ramped it up pretty quickly. And you saw people on this team talking about him as an offensive line leader already.
Yeah.
I think that's impressive.
And that, I mean, and
that's not because of lack of talent on that side of the ball.
Yeah.
That's because of who he is.
And you love it when that combination of leadership and talent comes together in one package, in one player. Like, that's really awesome to see. Tyler Booker, he comes back in week 7. What happens? Boom. Dallas runs for more than 150 yards. Javonte Williams had an all-time season by pretty much every measurable statistic. I think Tyler Booker takes certainly some credit for that. The Cowboys running game went from 27th last year to 9th. Now, Javonte definitely deserves credit for that as well, but some of it goes to Tyler Booker. And in case you were curious, the number one overall pick, Cam Ward, was 13th on the list. But you just wait until he figures it out, and then the rest of the NFL is effed.
Travion Henderson had some really good moments this year. He's going to be a good back in the league.
He's 21 on the list.
He shared time with Stevenson, but when Stevenson got hurt, he was the dude.
Right.
Emeka Egbuka, I bet a lot of people, you look at his numbers, when they lost Mike Evans, I bet his numbers took a significant dip. And then Baker just could not, they couldn't play good offense at the end of the season.
He was right behind Ward, so he was 14th.
Okay, that's probably exactly where I would think. You said Jihad Campbell, was he on there?
Ooh, Jihad Campbell is on the list. I need to find where he is. I don't remember,
and I know
but
a
he's
lot of people,
definitely on the
a
list.
A lot of people were really high on Mason Graham coming out. He had a pretty good season, but not good enough. And then somebody said you forgot Luther Burden. I don't know. I told you, man. Luther Burden had like 3 negative yard games, so...
Luther Burden is on the list. Jihad Campbell is 17. Mason Graham is 18. And then Luther Burden is 27. I knew he was towards the back of that list.
Dude, you had some good running. Like, I know Scadaboo got hurt, but that was interesting.
Yeah.
Quinshon Judkins, that was a sad injury there. But he had some good run.
Yeah.
And Omarion Hampton had a good, you had some good running backs this year.
Yeah, and Omarion Hampton, that's another person who suffered an injury. He was 23rd on the list. All right, let's go.
Shador, where was Shador?
He is not in the top 25.
That's it. What a dumb
list. I didn't make the list. By the way, we did get confirmation from the Bills that Gabe Davis did, in fact, tear his ACL. I feel like we thought that was the case. To add on to it, Jordan Poyer is out in the game against the Broncos. So we talked about winning, but at what cost? And it's not like the Bills are alone in this. There's a couple of teams that, man, they took a beating going out of that first round of the playoffs. Now, let's...
You asked about James Cook earlier.
Yes.
Good gosh, they're going to have to rely more on that.
No kidding. Now, let's talk about gambling.
You love gambling.
I really think it's fascinating when the parlays hit home, but remember, casinos love parlays because that's how they bleed your money out. Somebody bet $1,000 on an 8-leg parlay. Indiana, first half spread, minus half. I'm not going to go through all of them. The point is they won the first 7.
Okay.
And the parlay was for 95 to 1. So if they would have gotten the last one, they would have won $95,000 off of $1,000. The cash out option given to them before the final game was $41,433. Would you have taken the cash out? Knowing I'm not going to tell you what the last game was yet.
Well, yeah, and that's a big factor because, again, I'm different than you and Choppy. If I make a bet, I kind of want that team to win.
I'm telling you, I'm looking at these bets. There appears to be no favoritism to them.
I need to ask you, because you do underdog stuff.
Yes. Promo code Masterpiece.
Doesn't it feel like in the world of that, the push, the marketing push, if you will, is bet on these things and win. And so your mind goes to bet on the overs in a lot of those instances.
100%.
I want to see my favorite player. Because I heard your ad the other day, and you said, bet on your favorite player, or maybe a player you don't like. And I was like, that's genius.
I because you know what? People love to do.
I can root against that guy.
They love to bet the over, and they love to bet favorites.
Yeah. Yeah, and so my mind, I was like, I need to do more of that as betting unders on people I hate.
Yep. Agreed. So this person...
No, I wouldn't. I'm probably going to try to let it ride, baby.
This person took the cash out. So they turned $1,000 into $41,400. Their last bet, Pittsburgh plus four. So they made the right decision, Corey, because going into the fourth quarter, they might have been like, oh, that was stupid. But then you saw Houston score all the defensive points and you're like, well, it was a good idea. So good job going ahead and cashing out on that. In not particularly surprising news whatsoever, the Panthers are in fact planning on exercising Bryce Young's fifth-year option for 2027. And then let's go to the Eagles real quick. Jalen Hurts was asked about giving a thumbs up and an endorsement to their OC. He said, quote, it's too soon to think about that. Like I said, I put my trust in Howie, Nick, and Mr. Lurie. So I put my trust in the coach, GM, and the owner.
Don't worry.
OC, it's too early to think about
city, that city wants that dude gone.
They
do. That, trust me. We'll talk more about it in the C block.
And by the way, the OC for the Jags. I believe he turns 30 today. He is Grant Udinski. He is being interviewed for the Browns head coaching job.
Well, good for him.
30 years old.
Yeah, the Browns want somebody they can manipulate. They'll be like, hey, man, we'll give you the job.
Hey, I still think they should hire the candidate who goes into that interview and goes, oh, couldn't be worse. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's do some NFL playoff overreaction or reality right here on The Fan.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.